Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Job, Job chapter 32, verses 6 through 9. We're going to read these verses responsively. And Elihu, the son of Barachiel, and the Buzite, Bob and Jimbo, and all those other guys, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither the aged understand judgment. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for what you've done for us. You sure have been awfully, awfully good to us. Now, God, I pray that you'd help us in the next few moments. Next 35, 40 minutes or so, would you please teach us the word of God? Would you help us? Lord, we all have questions. We all have problems. We all have things that don't make sense. And would you allow the word of God to make a little bit more sense out of life, please? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Job 32 is a very interesting passage. We will come to it. Back to it here in a moment, but give me your minds and your attention for just a little while. If you'll let me help you tonight, I think every person in this room would heal. I think every person in this room that has some things deep down inside that bother you, that have hurt you, that have even been unbelievably confusing to you, God can answer those things tonight. By the way, I'm not God. I preach his book. Amen? And that's what it's all about. Have you ever wondered how great men and how wise people do stupid things? Sometimes sinful and foolish things? Have you ever wondered how somebody that's supposed to know so much did not do what they said they were supposed to do? How could Abraham have had an adulterous relationship with Hagar, his servant? By the way, the problems we have in the Middle East today is because of that one bad relationship. The Muslims were born because of Hagar and Abraham. How could Moses have killed a man? How could Moses then, while they're in the wilderness, get so mad that he hit the rock at Horeb instead of spoke to it? And lost his ticket to the promised land because of his temper? We're talking about the great meek Moses. How could Noah have gotten drunk after the flood? How could Lot have ended up in Sodom and father two children from his daughters? You have to understand, Lot was Abraham's nephew. Everybody doing okay? How could David have committed adultery with Bathsheba and then murdered Uriah, her husband? How could Solomon, who was the man God said has had more wisdom than any man before or since, how could he have ended up marrying 700 women and have 300 substitutes now? Folks, that's stupid. Not only the fact of all those women, but can you imagine 700 mother-in-laws? That's not wise. By the way, in his later years, followed false gods. How could John the Baptist, now listen to this statement. How could John the Baptist, just before he was about to lose his head, he was doubting whether Jesus was the Son of God. He said, now tell me again, are you sure? How could all of the disciples have forsaken Jesus when they took him just before Calvary? Matter of fact, how could Peter have cussed and swore and denied Jesus? We're talking about loudmouth Peter that just a couple days before, oh, Jesus, that'll never happen. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Why did Paul, the apostle, take a foolish Jewish vow? Have you ever wondered how a well-known preacher could sin or do something wrong? Have you ever wondered how someone you looked up to could disappoint you so badly? Have you ever wondered how seemingly smart people who want to help their country get involved politically and end up corrupting the country? They get all this power and end up corrupt. Why is it that CEOs of companies and sometimes wealthy people often live where they feel there are no rules for them? It's okay for everybody else, but we don't have to live by those rules. And by the way, I'm not saying that all wealthy people live that way, nor CEOs that live that way, just so you know. Just because someone has money does not make them evil. Solomon is one of the most misunderstood people in the Bible. Solomon is one of the most misunderstood people in the Bible. Take your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I want to show you something. This wasn't in my notes, so this was free. You don't have to pay for this one, amen? Yeah, this time. Hang on, you'll pay for it next point. Now, before we read, I want everybody's eyeballs right here because I'm going to make a statement. This is what separates me from non-denominationalists and denominational Baptists. God wrote the Bible. Period. End of discussion. Ecclesiastes are not Solomon's words. Ecclesiastes are God's words. God didn't put the thoughts in Solomon's mind and Solomon wrote them out as he thought them. Solomon's pen was used as a secretary who God gave the words to, word by word, and he wrote them down. The Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled to heaven." Before the foundations of the world, God spoke. Amen. These words were in heaven before Solomon was ever even thought of on earth. So these are God's words written as God had them penned in heaven. Now watch this. Look at verse number 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The words of the preacher. Notice that that's capital. That's a proper noun. Specific person. The son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher. Capital P. Look at verse number 12. I, the preacher, was king of Israel. And I'll stop there. Do you realize that Solomon is the only man in the Bible that God uses the term preacher as a proper noun with? Many of you call me pastor or preacher instead of Brother Bush or this, that, or the other thing. I've been called a lot of things that I won't say in public. But some of you would call me preacher. It's a term of endearment, a term of affection. God called Solomon preacher. Where do you ever hear that spoken? We think about, oh, how bad Solomon was. Hold on here. God's opinion was far different. Solomon, as a young man, he takes the throne in his late, probably early 40s, and God comes to him and says, Solomon, you're David's son. Your dad is the man after mine own heart. I'd like to honor him. Solomon, you name what you want, I'll give it to you. How would you like God to come to you and say, whatever you want, I'll give it to you? What would you ask for? Solomon didn't ask for power. Solomon didn't ask for wealth. Solomon said, I need wisdom to lead your people. He said, if you didn't give me anything else, give me wisdom. He said, because you didn't ask for power and you didn't ask for wealth, I'll give you those because those are byproducts of wisdom anyway. He said, I'll give you both of those. By the way, you find out later, and we won't go into it right now, but Solomon was bringing in roughly somewhere between $750 million to $1 billion a year in wealth. He was not slim pickings here. He was a wealthy man. But he said, I need wisdom. Now listen to me. How could he end up so far from God? If you read chapter 2, it talks about vanity of vanities. All is vanity. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 that, you know, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 just for a second here. I'll read one verse to you. And then I'm going to get to the sermon. I didn't study as much as I should have, so I've got filler now. No, Ecclesiastes 7, look at verse number 19. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. He said, look, wisdom is so powerful, it's greater than 10 strong people. He said, wisdom will do an awful lot for you. And he said, I've had it. But then he married 700 women, many of different religions, many of different races, many of different heathen lands. Then had 300 concubines. You say, what are those? Those aren't tractors that take down the fields, all right? Those are combines, okay? Concubines are 300 substitutes that he just didn't marry. Now listen to this statement. And when Solomon was old, they turned his heart against God to false gods. How did this happen? God said in Job 32, verse number 9, great men are not always wise. Great men are not always wise. Wise people do not get wise and stay that way just because they had wisdom once. I'm going to help you tonight. I think we fail to remember that all people are sinners. I said it this morning. Our church is a city of refuge. Amen. Thank God for it. We often say it's a hospital. And I thank God for that analogy. We're not a museum where we put relics on the wall and say, look at what did happen. We're a hospital and say, come on in, let us fix you up so we can make something happen. This is no excuse for people doing wrong, but we must remember all people are sinners, including wise people. There's only ever been one that walked the face of the earth that was sinless, and they crucified him, just so you know. Now, we get to the sermon. You ready? Number one. Wisdom is not a commodity that once you have it forever. Wisdom is not a commodity that once you have it forever. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, I'm going to read one verse to you. I could read scores of verses, we don't have time. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse number 7. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Notice the word, thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. I want you to notice, God calls wisdom a thing. It is a commodity. It's something that you go and get. But wisdom is not something that once you get it, you have it forever. Those of you ladies that are married, if you look down on your left hand, next to last finger, there's a ring there. That diamond was there to last forever. Now, some of you kept it. Some of you didn't take care of it. Some of you had a loose thing on it and fell out and you had to get another one, whatever. But it was there to last forever. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's not what wisdom is. You don't get wisdom one time and wake up like Gomer Pyle and say, Shazam, I got it. Wisdom is not like that house that you bought and it's going to stand the rest of your life. Well, some of the ones you bought will. Now, wait a minute. Wisdom is not gotten at one time and you don't need it anymore. Wisdom, number two, goes with number one here. Wisdom is a conduit or a hose. That's all it is. Wisdom is like a piece of pipe or a hose. And it is a vessel to transfer from God to you or from God through you to others. And that is exactly what wisdom is. It, and by the way, whatever you hook that hose up to, whatever you hook that pipe up to, guess what flows through it? Whatever it's hooked up to. When it's locked in place with God, can I tell you what's flowing through it? Wisdom. Truth, righteousness, holiness, principles and right. But every once in a while, we unhook that thing and plug it into something else. Guess what? You can have some dirt flow through it too. Let me show you what I mean. Every week, Brother Matt Smith, one of our good deacons, our baptistry is under the Lord's Supper table there, just for you visitors, just so you know. You say, what is it? It's a horse tank. Brother Hawkins comes to soul winning yesterday morning. He said, what water you got running in the parking lot, Brother Bush? I said, the baptistry. He said, oh. Brother Smith hooks up a pump with a hose attached to it. We run a hose all the way out into the parking lot. And he sucks the dirty water out of the baptistry through a hose. Then, when it's empty, listen to this, he pumps clean water through that hose. He's got to get the rest of that dirty water out of the hose. You say, why? Because there's a place out here we can screw that hose back into, pull the handle, and fill that thing back up with clean water. But we've got to get the dirty water out of the hose. Do you know how many gallons of water in a 300-foot hose? Well, if we take dirty water and just shove it right back into there, there was no sense in it draining it to begin with. So we've got to hook that thing up to dirty water, pump it out, then he gets a couple buckets of clean water and keeps pumping clean water through that thing. Say, why? Because we're getting ready to hook it up to clean water and fill that thing back up with clean water. That's exactly what wisdom is like. Whatever you hook that thing up to, guess what? In your life, there's times you got to pump the bad out. It takes wisdom to pump it out. But if you're going to fill yourself back up, guess what? You got to fill it up with clean water. Too many of us are just backflowing that dirty water right back through that thing. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. You doubt my illustration. Let's use God's. Proverbs chapter, did I say 13 or 14? Proverbs chapter 13. Verse number 14, that's why. Proverbs 13, verse number 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. God says that wisdom is a fountain. You go out here to the drinking fountain. I don't know about you. I'm not real big on public drinking fountains. I'm not against them, but anytime I've got to use one, I'm going to tell myself, I push that button, let it run for a few seconds before I put my mouth up near that thing. Say why? Because I don't know what kind of backwash hit that thing. I'm trying to clean it out and get as clean of water as I can get. I've watched too many people put their mouth on that thing, spit in that thing, do all kinds of stuff in that thing. I'm thinking, I'm not doing that. Let that thing go and I don't get close to that thing. I stay as far away as I can. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me very carefully. The Bible says that wisdom is a fountain of life. It's like a spring that flows up from the ground. And by the way, most people will tap a spring with a pipe. My dad would remember this. We used to hunt back in Ohio on a farm. And out at the farm, they had this old, I guess it was an artesian spring, and they hooked a pipe up to that puppy, and it ran out into an old bathtub. And it filled up that bathtub, and they kicked where the drain plug and stuff would be out over here at the top, where the drain vent would be, and they'd let that whole thing fill up, and then it drained out there into the lake. They had it sitting right there. You talk about cold water. In the summertime, that water is about 40 degrees. In the wintertime, that water was about 40 degrees. It's cold. But when you're hunting in 20-degree weather, that water was good stuff, amen? Unless you went out on thin ice and fell through the ice. And we won't talk about that story. Now, wait a minute. I remember going out there and we'd bend over that pipe and we were getting clean, fresh water from way down underground. And it was constantly flowing, but it flowed through that pipe. Can I tell you something? I can promise you, you could use that pipe and pump dirty water through it too. You could pump sewage through it. You wouldn't want to drink that. Wait a minute. You can clean that pipe back out and use it again, though. Wisdom is the same way. Wisdom is not a commodity that once you get it, you have it forever. It's much like a hose or a pipe. And whatever you attach it to, listen to me, whatever flows through it and what it's attached to is what flows. Now, Booker T. Washington, one of the great minds in America, and I just got done reading a book. As a matter of fact, I got a couple of you men hooked on that thing. Amen, Brother Smith. Amazing. If you ever want to read about an amazing man, Booker T. Washington has a autobiography called Up from Slavery. One of the three best books outside the Bible I've ever read in my life. Period, bar none. Grew up as a slave boy, doesn't even know what his birth date is. Grew up in slavery. When he was a young man, slavery ended. Slaves were not given any name but a front name, what they called a front name, a first name. His name was Booker. When he finally was able to go to school, he saw all the kids giving a front, middle, and initial and last name. His mother's first name started with a T, so he chose T for his middle initial, and the only other person he could think of was George Washington, so he called himself Booker T. Washington. He named himself. That's all he knew. One of the greatest minds in American history is Booker T. Washington. Listen to what he said. Great men cultivate love, and only little men cherish a spirit of hatred. Whew. Talking about a slave boy. You know what he said? He said the slaves were in better shape after the Civil War than the slave owners, because the slaves knew how to work. He said we were in better shape before we started depending on the government than the slave owners were. He said if we would have just done what we were supposed to do, we could have had more because we would have earned it and we would have worked for it. But we got caught up into this philosophy that education means you don't work, you get somebody else to do it for you. Where is that taught in America anymore? No, we'd rather throw people up there that think everybody's a victim. He was saying, great men grow and harvest love. He did not say there were no weeds in their fields. Did you catch that? You know, I don't care who you are. You go out and grow a crop, you're going to have weeds. Now, you can keep the number of them down, but it doesn't matter what crop you grow, you will have weeds. Now, listen to the statement. A wise person works hard at minimizing the number of weeds and parasites and different things in the field to maximize the crop. That's called wisdom. But you're still going to have weeds. I don't care what field you go into. You can see the most beautiful field of I love this time of year. Winter wheat and buckwheat have already started to come up, and winter wheat's about 3-4 inches high at least right now. And those fields are just green and lush. It really looks cool when you got a buck out there and you're looking through your scope at that field. It's awesome sight. And red and green go together real well at this time of the year, amen? But I say that because, man, the fields are gorgeous right now. And that green, lush, deep color right now in a time of the year where everything's going brown. Or it's dead and there's nothing there. Or it's just laying there waste right now, waiting for spring. Boy, those green winter wheat and buckwheat fields right now, they're popping green. They're gorgeous. But I don't care what field you go into. At a distance, looks like it's just solid green and there's no weeds. I've walked through enough fields. I don't care what field you walk in, you're going to find weeds. You're going to find stones and bare spots. So, oh no, that field's perfect. Until you walk close to it, you're going to see the imperfection then. The same conduit or hose can be used to pump purity or poison. Great people can only stay wise if they stay connected to wisdom. Did you get that? Wise people and great people only stay wise as long as they stay connected to wisdom. I constantly beg God for wisdom. Say why? Because I've got to stay connected to it. If I rely on what I know and I rely on my wisdom, guess what? We automatically start stepping backwards real fast. If I can stay connected to his wisdom and he flows through me, his words flow through me, his principles flow through me, the experiences he has given me flow through me, we've got a better chance of making it. Here's what happens. We gain a certain level of success, and then we say, I don't need God. I've been through this a lot. I hate to tell you, you need God. You need wisdom. I'll show you why your marriage starts backing off after a few years of being married, or after 10 or 15 or 20 or 25 years. It'll start backing off because you've been through so many things together. You've learned to think like each other, and you don't take time to express it. You don't take time to keep her the way you got her. You don't take time to keep him the way you got him, and things start growing cold in a marriage. God says it's supposed to stay that way till death do us part. I think I hit something. Oh, well. I'm sure I hit a delete alt button on that thing or something. You have to understand, as you grow in your marriage, you're supposed to grow in marriage. Wise people can think they're strong enough to get close to sin, and that's why they go into sin. Folks, you can't play with sin. You're not strong enough to play with sin and walk away every time. One of these days, it will bite you. Period. End of discussion. I don't mind snakes. Now, I say the word, and I'm watching my mother going back there going like this. She's ready to hit the door already, just saying the word. She hates snakes. I don't mind snakes. And I've had to remove snakes before or shoot snakes before and do different things. I shot 5 rattlesnakes in the building I slept in one night. That's not a comfortable feeling, let me tell you. I woke up one morning in El Paso, Texas. I woke up and I had a tarantula sitting on my chest. Now, that one wasn't as exciting as the rattlesnake, but I'll tell you what, I was getting a little worried. Now, wait a minute. I'm not afraid of snakes. I respect them enough, I don't play with them. I had a convert of mine down in South Carolina. Honey, you remember Rodney? Rodney was a long-haired 70s hippie reject. I led Rodney to the Lord. And when Rodney got saved, he got saved all over, except he hadn't cut his hair yet. But Rodney had 3 18 to 22 foot long python snakes. And I'm talking giant snakes. They weighed 220, 230, 240 pounds each. I mean, they were massive. He called me one day. He said, Brother Bush, why don't you come on over? He said, I'm going to feed my snakes. He said, you got to see this. I thought, he's going to feed his snakes. Okay. I walked over, and he had 3 snakes, and I'm not lying. And ladies, don't get mad at me, but he had 9 rabbits there. Yeah, and he's sitting there petting them. He said, watch this. Flip, 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 flip. He throws 3 rabbits in one tank. And I never saw so much snake move so fast in my life. But there were 3 little rabbits that went, and all of a sudden, they're all 3 wrapped up in snake, and it's going like a box of Rice Krispies, snap, crackle, pop. And every time they'd move and go, he'd squeeze a little tighter. Until all the stopped. And all of a sudden that snake relaxes. And then he starts swallowing these things whole. I said, good night. He's got 6 rabbits left. Yeah, he did all 3 snakes that way. I said, how often you got to do that? That's got to get expensive. He said, I only have to do this every couple months, so it's not bad. He said, it gets expensive when they don't have rabbits and I got to use rats because each one will eat about 10 or 15 rats. He said, but the rats get mean. He said, I thump them in the head a little bit so that they don't bite and chew on the snake skins. He said, because I got to throw so many of them in there at a time. He said it works better that way. I thought, Now, I don't mind hunting and stuff, but that was cruel, man. I was thinking, wow. My wife did not want to be around that place. She walked outside. Nope, I'm not going through that. She heard the first little, and it was over. Now, wait a minute. I know enough about snakes. You play with them long enough, you're going to get bit. And you don't play with sin without getting bit eventually. Strong people, wise people, think they're so strong, think they're so wise, they can detach themselves from needing God and they'll start getting closer to the sin saying, ha, I made it, it's okay. I'll go a little farther next time, it's okay. I'll go a little farther next time, it's okay. Wham, how did that happen?
Yes, sir.
I can tell you that many times before the wham, they detached from God. Everybody doing okay? Strong or wise people can think they're immune or unaffected by wrong. Oh, I'm strong enough. I can look at that and that won't bother me. Yeah, right. Look at politicians. They think they're immune from the very things that we're supposed to do. That they don't even need the Constitution anymore. They can just do whatever they want to do. Look at Harry Reid. Let's change the rules of Congress because we're not getting what we want. Those unrelentless Republicans, they won't help us, so we'll change the rules so we can get what we want. He just changed 238 years of Senate history with one swooping vote, and it's unconstitutional. It was set up so that the minority people have a vote in things as well. I'm just telling you the truth. Wise people can hook or attach their hose to wrong influences. Do you know I'm very careful what books I read? I'm going to make a statement that I probably will make somebody mad with, but I don't read people's doctrine who have bad doctrine. I don't read Southern Baptist doctrine. I don't want it to influence our church. I don't read non-denominational doctrine. I don't want it to affect our church. I don't read Catholic doctrine. Say why? I don't want it to corrupt me. I really don't. And I do not read it. There's some people in history that I respect in the Reformation. You take John Wesley. I respect John Wesley, but I will not read John Wesley doctrine. I'll read his life, but I will not read his doctrines because he and I would be opposing each other in doctrine. I respect anybody that'll fight the Catholic Church like he did, but guess what? He started the Methodist movement, and look where the Methodists are now. They're more Catholic than the Catholics were 400 years ago. They're returning to the mother of harlots. That's why Baptists weren't part of the Reformation. We've been Baptists 1,500 years before there ever was a Catholic. Well, not 1,500, 350. Now, I'm going to change gears just for a second. And then I'm done. What do you do when wise people do foolish things? And by the way, let me just say this on this last point. Wise people don't associate with the wrong preachers, the wrong music, and the wrong churches. I'm very careful who I associate with. I'm not going to go to the local ministerial assassination and have breakfast with people I disagree with on doctrine. Number one, they're not going to invite me, amen? Words out what we believe. It doesn't last real long around here. You say, do you get invited? No. Are you hurt? No, that's a badge of honor for me. I'd almost be offended if they called me. Oh, wait a minute. I know Baptist preachers that are trying to spread garbage around the country. They're calling some friends of mine, but I hate to tell you, they're not calling me. I don't hate to tell you. They already know where I stand. They're not going to call me. They're not leaving me messages. You know why? Because they know where I stand. I have let it know where I stand. You say, do you hear? No, they don't tell me because I won't listen. It's real simple. Now, what do you do when wise people do foolish things? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 statements, and then I'm done. You ready? Number one, don't lose faith in the truth because the truth did not change. People do. Make that statement again. Do not lose faith in the truth because the truth did not change. People are sinners and people change. Did you catch that? Guess what? Just because somebody that you know and you love and you respect as a preacher did something wrong doesn't mean everything that they did was bad.
Yes, sir.
As long as they were preaching the truth is still truth.
Amen.
The truth did not change, they changed.
Right.
Okay, number two. This is one where you and I might disagree, but I know what I'm talking about here. Don't trash the whole life of a wise person who did something wrong.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
You're all for restoration when you're the one needing restored. What about the wise person that disappointed you? They need restored too.
Right.
And just because they did something stupid doesn't mean that they shouldn't be restored. Grace Baptist Church, this is a place where Solomon would be welcome. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
You say, well, I know a preacher and they went bad. Yeah, and I probably have some of their books on my shelf before they went bad. And I still read their material because it was good stuff. You know what? I pray for them to get restored. What a waste of potential.
Yes, sir.
I don't believe in shooting a wounded person. I believe in healing them, getting them back up, and getting them back out in the battlefield. Now, they might not be able to walk point anymore, but they can still carry a gun and pull the trigger. They can still pull the pin on a grenade and launch that puppy. They might not even be able to get back out on the battlefield, but they could stay back and help organize things and help people get out there. Boy, that's good stuff. Number three, don't give up doing right because someone disappointed you. This is probably not the most educated, couth way of saying this, but put your big boy pants and big girl pants on and let's do what's right because it's right to do, not because somebody hurt your feelings. Well, somebody hurt my feelings, so I'm not going to do what's right. Oh, wow, that's a real good thing. You better be glad Jesus didn't think that way because he'd have never gone to Calvary. Well, you don't know how somebody hurt me. Look what they did to Christ. You think you're the only person in the world that ever got hurt by somebody? You live in an awfully small world. Number four, because I just made somebody mad. If the other three didn't make you mad, this one will. God does not change because someone does wrong. That book does not change, and I don't care who does wrong. My life didn't get screwed up because Jim Baker went to jail. Do you know what? I felt sorry for him. I didn't feel sorry for as sorry for Tammy Faye Faker, but I mean Baker. But you know what? I feel sorry for people like that. I really do. What a waste! If we could get them chopping in the right direction, look out. You know, God does not change because some well-known preacher changes. Folks, the day I come in here and say it's okay to use another Bible, it's time to leave. Time to leave. If I come in and say, well, I know what we used to preach, but we're done doing that. I've had a new revelation and we're not doing do me a favor. Backdoor revival as fast as you can. Send me to the doctor first because I promise you something's wrong. I'm too seasoned and set in my ways to change. The moment someone starts even breathing the wrong way of the wrong Bible or wrong doctrine, I'm on fire. Trust me. So just trust me, send me to the doctor and then leave. See, God does not change. I am the Lord, I change not. Guess what? We're still going to preach salvation by grace, and I don't care if it hair lips every church in town. We're still going to baptize our converts in deep water by immersion. I don't care who it hair lips. I love the story. My secretary was listening to a sermon by Brother Hiles recently, and he was preaching at a conference that was held in an old Methodist church, and half the church about had a heart attack when he drank their baptistry. It was sitting on the pulpit there. He thought it was a glass of water. He didn't know he drank the baptistry. I was sitting there and I could hear, I heard the story. Susie, yeah, those of us that heard Brother Hiles, he had about 30 stories that he told and just told them all over. So as soon as he starts, I knew where he was going. I thought, this ought to be good. And I waited for the cackle. Ha, 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 ha. She didn't hear it come until the end there. It was great. Now, wait a minute. You're not going to drink that baptistry. I promise you. You're going to slosh out of here. Now, wait a minute. You can't get buried with a cup. God said to be buried in your baptism. That means you go under the water and come back up. Okay? That's what it pictures, the death, the burial, and resurrection. When John the Baptist went down into the water with Jesus, he didn't go down there and splash water in his face. He didn't need to go into the water to sprinkle water on his head or splash him. They went down into the water so that he could dunk him under, amen? He didn't wear a Smurf suit, but he got baptized. Folks, God does not change, and I don't care who does wrong, God did not change. Number five, and I'm done. Learn from their mistakes to prevent doing it in your own life. I know some good men, what you would call great men, that made bad mistakes. I've studied their life so I don't have to make the same mistake. Now, it does not make me immune from making the same mistake. But I've seen their example, and wisdom says, they crossed a line. Don't you dare cross that line. And I've studied to see who they associated with that would have drawn them that direction. Guess what? I don't associate that way. I'm probably going to get in trouble. But I've watched preachers change the older they get. As they get old, they get tired of fighting. Well, you got a 46-year-old that when he's 64 plans on fighting just as hard or harder than he does right now. I don't like fighting, but guess what? I've watched what happens when people give up, and I don't want to end up like that. I'm probably going to hair lip somebody. I've watched too many fundamentalists change. And they're running in crowds with people that have already changed. I'm not having people that have been changing for the last 20 years come here. Well, what about so-and-so? They're pretty well known. Yeah, and I know where they've been in the last 20 years. And they're not stepping foot inside that door to preach behind the pulpit. If they want to come to church here, that's fine. But they're going to, it's military chow here. You pop it out there, I'm flopping it down. I don't care who you are. I'm not going to let them preach behind this pulpit. I know who they're running with. There are people in this room that I could name names right now of people you respect, and they've been preaching in the wrong circles for a long time. A long time. Brother Coral will be with us. Say why? He's too mean to follow that wrong crowd. You know, sandpaper doesn't go with oil real well. You know, Brother Coral, God bless that man. He called me one day. I was at the bottom. He said, Brother Bush, he said, you're too nice. Now, you ought to, you know, when somebody calls me too nice, they're rough. He said, I see a fight. He said, I jump in and start swinging just because it's fun. He said, now you're going to ask them why they're fighting and find out why first. He said, not me, man. It's fisticuffs. He said, I was a bouncer in a bar. I love fighting. I said, you're right. I don't jump in. I'm trying to break it up. He said, not me. You're going to be breaking me up because I'm going in there fighting. Now, I understood what he was saying. And by the way, I needed a little of that at that moment because I wasn't feeling much like fighting. Every once in a while, I'll turn Brother Hiles on to chew me up and spit me out. You say, why? Because I need it just as much as you do. You walk into this building about 7 o'clock one morning, you'll have Brother Hiles screaming and hollering at you. Say, why? Because he's preaching at me. I need it. Man, he cleaned my plow every once in a while. Wait a minute. We put our trust in man. And listen to the statement. Just because they were wise 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago does not mean they're wise now. Just because an institution used to be wise at one time doesn't mean it's wise today. Just because Bible colleges used to be good doesn't mean they're good anymore. Because people change. I'm not pointing any fingers anyway. I did that last week. Listen to it online. You'll find out what I think about it. But let me say this. Just because it was right at one time doesn't mean they're still right. Who are they hooked up to? I made the statement last week. You look up Tennessee Temple University. It was founded and established and run by Dr. Lee Roberson. Dr. Roberson's been in heaven for a few years. The last 15 years of his life, they wouldn't even let him preach in chapel there. I have a friend who walked on the campus there and said, where's Dr. Roberson's office? They said, who? Yeah. I said, Dr. Lee Roberson. They said, oh, you mean the old man? His office down there somewhere. That was a student at the college that said that. Lord have mercy. By the way, you look up their doctrinal statement, and in their doctrinal statement, I looked at it in the last 2 weeks, it says, we follow the doctrines of the Southern Baptist Convention. The Southern Baptist Convention kicked Lee Roberson out in the 1940s, in the 1950s, just so you know. They've gone back to what he came out of. Now, are you against Tennessee Temple? Yes. But just so you know, my home pastor was a Tennessee Temple grad in the late 60s, early 70s at its heyday. But 40 and 50 years later, it's not what it was then because they're hooked up to a different source. Everybody doing okay? I have Dr. Roberson's books. I respect Dr. Roberson. But Dr. Roberson made some mistakes that I'm not going to make. I decided I was going to learn. Everybody doing okay? Follow wise people as they follow wise principles. Men who follow unwise principles quit following them. Just because they followed wise principles once doesn't mean they're still doing it. How could Solomon end up so goofy? Well, he followed unwise people. And that's why, later in life, he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I'm making billions of dollars. I've got everything I want. I've built me zoos. I've built me houses. I've built me farms. I've built me this. I've built me that. I've built all these things. I've got this. I've got that. And one event happened to them all. The rich man dies just like the fool. That's what he said. Death comes to the rich person just like it does to the fool. He said there's not as much in things as you think there is. He said, I wish I'd have stayed hooked up to the right source all these years. Huh. Abraham, how could you have done that? Because for a moment of time, he was hooked up to the wrong source. David, Solomon, Moses. How did Paul, Peter, how did all these people, John the Baptist, associate and do stupid things? For a moment of time. But guess what? Most all of them got used again. Somebody hurt you? Somebody disappoint you? Okay, why don't you stay hooked up to the truth? Tell you one thing, I've never seen anybody that lives by that book ever turn out the wrong way. They turn out the wrong way when they go away from that book, not when they're following it. Now, whether they say they're following it or not isn't the issue. Their life will reveal what they're following. You stay hooked up to that, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. I'll promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've all been hurt by and disappointed by supposedly wise or great people. But it's just that, they're people. They're humans, they're sinners, just like you, just like me. What are you hooked up to? Has there ever been a time when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, tonight's the night. You need to get hooked up to the source of all wisdom. God says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Wow. Say, where do you get wisdom, Brother Bush? God. Get hooked up to the right source.